We're going to begin a series on the parables of Jesus for the next few weeks. You can't go too wrong reading the red letters in the Bible where Jesus is speaking. The whole Bible, of course, is the Word of God, and every part of it is just as anointed. But we do want to spend a few weeks just talking about the things that Jesus spoke about. Maybe we'll just start by reading it. I'm going to take a moment and just read the whole story. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, which is 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I'll give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, so at noon and then at 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, which is 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." And he said to them, "You go into the vineyard too." And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. Amen. So, I just want you to put up the definition of a parable slide. A parable in the Bible is a simple story used to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. It's a narrative that conveys a deeper meaning. Amen. Jesus used simple stories, seemingly simple. He used characters that people could understand, whether it's a laborer or a fisherman or whatever the parable might be, to make a spiritual point. And what I love about the parables, we're reading them a couple thousand years on, but they're just as relevant today as they were then. And there's stuff in there that, yeah, you, when you first read it, I'm going to talk about a few things that seem quite obvious, I guess. But then there's a couple of points, and that's my sermon this morning, that come from my experience with God. And not just mine, but you'll see what I mean in a minute. But the first is God's generosity. Like, if you just look at this parable as we're just reading through, one of the things that jumps out is, you know, his generosity. Amen? It's his favor is not fair. And just let me read the paragraphs that I have here. The English is better than when I'm trying to just talk with my delicious English this morning. But it's important to just kind of outline this parable before I wax eloquently on it. The parable illustrates God's abundance, grace, and generosity. In the story, the landowner hires workers throughout the day, paying each worker the same wage regardless of the hours worked. This demonstrates that God's blessings are not based on human merit or effort, but are given freely out of his grace. Amen? I think we could all kind of agree internationally that's a good point. The second one is equality and fairness. The parable challenges human notions of fairness and equality. The workers who labored longer expected to be paid more, which seems right to us. But the landowner's response highlights a different perspective. It emphasizes that in God's kingdom, everyone is equally valued regardless of their background, abilities, or how long they have been serving him. Amen? Amen. That's fair. Although it doesn't seem fair, but it's fair. In God's kingdom. Then number three, the kingdom of God's economy. The parable also teaches about the nature of the kingdom of God. It shows that God's ways and values often contradict worldly standards. In God's economy, the last will be first and the first will be last. This challenges believers to prioritize spiritual values and God's principles over worldly success or statutes. These lessons encourage humility, gratitude for God's grace, a deeper understanding of his kingdom and his ways. Amen. Let's close in prayer and go home. Amen. Everybody said amen. You're a little too eager right there. So this isn't going to go well for you this morning. But I think that's pretty fair to whether you're reading it for the first time or sitting listening to Jesus. It makes sense. But now, here's my interpretation. Are you ready? Buckle up. I have spoken about this parable so many times in my life. You know, there's verses in the Bible that become your life verses. Sorry, I'm not used to this mic hanging here. I don't know why preachers like to preach and holler a little bit, but it wakes people up. But if I have spoken on a parable, well, if this is one of my favorite. But I say that about every verse in the Bible. You know, but this is a life verse. I bet if I ask my daughter, where do you think I'm going to go with this verse? Jesus, right answer. Good. You can raise your children for 30 years and they still don't help you out. Put up my first point. Our life is our reward. I was hoping you were going to say, you get to go to church. Aha, you missed your chance. But some of these verses are life verses for me. And this one I'm going to get to in a second. But, you know, if you take 2 Corinthians 12:15, I'll gladly spend everything I have and be spent for the sake of your souls. If I love you more, will you love me less? That's another one. How about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. The whole Bible is our favorite passages, right? But there's certain, how about John 3:16? How about Psalm 23? Like, everybody in here will have one, you know? That God spoke to you, it was like a rhema word, it came alive, it became part of your life, as you're digging into the Word of God. So this parable has always had life for me, and in our circumstance and who we are, and I'll explain it more in a second, but I'm trying to whet your appetites, is that God wants to speak more than just listening to a word this morning. He wants to, like, when we started praying this morning, and those of us who are here in the prayer time, and Toby just, it's way more than what you can express. God is near. God is here. You heard Jeremy's cry from the microphone this morning. Like, it's from our bellies, rivers of living water. Something stirs up in us. As you hear the word of God, and as God's word comes alive in you, and you act on it, and you reach out and step out in faith. So when I read this parable, and I've shared this many times, but it's okay, you can hear it again, is that the 11th hour workers, those who started at 5, no, don't put that up there yet, thank you very much, that's secret for later, but the guys who signed up at 6 in the morning, early, that's the first hour of the day. Even Tanzania, that's the clock we use. Saa moja, first hour, 6 in the morning. And it goes through till 12, till 6 in the evening. Those guys who signed up early in the morning are the ones who are challenging, like every one of these things about God's generosity and his kingdom and all these things, each one of them would kind of didn't seem fair. But here's my take on it. Our life is our reward. Serving God is our reward. Getting to serve God, getting to serve him is his reward for us. And you know what the reward is? Is that you get to serve more. And you get to be part of his kingdom more. And somehow the guys who started in the morning lost sight of that privilege of serving God, the privilege of being in His kingdom, the privilege of being part of what God is doing and working. And, you know, if all they could see is the labor and the sweat, and, you know, you read the parable, but, and it's real, but I'm telling you this morning that the reward of being a Christian is to serve Him. And the longer we get to serve Him, the more He blesses us, and the more faithful we are, the more He gives us to be faithful with. And you serve the Lord, and you get to do it more. And that's where this line came from. You don't have to go to church, you get to go to church. And I was very glad to go back to Pretoria, to 3CI, many years after they sent us here to plant this church. And I saw ushers, not ushers, but guys who are serving in their life groups were wearing t-shirts. We get to serve. Ha ha. That line stuck. It's not just mine, but I said it first. When you look in the commentaries about these parables, they don't say much. You know, you're digging around, you're, okay, there's nothing there. It's kind of, yeah, that's kind of the obvious thing. But our life is our reward. And so I want to just encourage you. You know, when I was waxing eloquently on this in different times in South Africa, it was easier because there was a few thousand people in the church. And so I'd say things like, my daughter's smiling because I got to temper it a little bit. But, you know, take these are just examples because we're a family or a church, whatever. But we're not beggars, right? Lori and I, a few of us, you life group leaders by yourself, you and your wives, your husbands, we could set up this whole church on a Sunday. We don't need you to come and serve. Is that okay if I say it like that? We're not beggars, but we get to serve. And if you've never learned to serve and to do something to show your love for God and to serve this family, then you're missing something. That's how I want to put it. And we're not here to beat on you and force you into anything. It's just good to serve God. And I would put it this way. If you raise children who never, ever, ever learn the joy of sweat and work and serving and doing something and seeing the fruit of that, you've robbed them. Because they're going to hit a job one day where they will be useless. And it's funny, nobody's given me a participation award. In fact, once you leave probably about grade 10, nobody cares less if you even show up. But we got to teach our kids, right? Yes. Life groups, church, work. I could take this principle to anything, but the joy of serving God is, that's the reward. To serve Him, to work for Him, to live your life for Him, you know, to get saved. Late, you know, I'll talk about the 11th hour, the grace of God. But I want to be able to serve Him my whole life. And bless Him and do great things for God. I could use examples of the guys who are right now in the back teaching the kids and those who lead our kids ministry. They do it because they love kids. Yeah, is there days when it's like work? Yeah. How about being a mother, a father? You know, it's like the first day that little sweet baby's born. Oh, I literally said it when Nicole was born. She was our first. I thought about you, Melanie, later, but by then, you know, you're a little more weary. But when Nicole was born, you got to know how we prayed, and we thought we lost her. We thought she had a miscarriage in Bukoba, and we're crying, and we're praying by the shores of Lake Victoria. I could really paint this picture, but I'm kneeling by the bed, looking straight at Lake Victoria out the window, about from here to the back of the church, and I'm just like, God! And Lori's bleeding, and we don't know, and we finally fly up to Nairobi. And what? Anyhow, I could tell you a long story. And Nicole's born, our first little, and I'm like, this one I would give my life for. It's probably the first person I ever met that I thought, no, this one. Yeah, and I see some fathers, yeah, this one. We want our kids to grow up and to serve God, and to love Him, and to do great things for Him. How much do I do here? All of it, okay. I could tell you about our reward of serving in the vineyard my whole life, but I'd be boasting. And I will boast a little bit, but I thought I would read Paul's boast. 2 Corinthians 12, again, that's where one of my favorite verses comes out of, but we're not going to get there. 2 Corinthians, actually, chapter 11. Just you don't have to, if you have your Bible, go there. Don't worry about putting it up. But Paul starts, and he says, let no one think me foolish in verse 16, but even if I do, accept me as a fool so that I too may boast a little. He's pushing back at those who are challenging his apostleship and saying he was, he's a fake and he's denied the faith and he's in jail and he hates the Jews and he hates the law. And he's saying, just let me boast a little bit. I say not with the Lord's authority, but as a fool. Since many boast according to the flesh, I too will boast, for you gladly bear with fools, being wise yourselves. And he's going after them. For you bear, if someone makes slaves of you or devours you or takes advantage of you or puts on airs or strikes you in the face, to my shame, I must say, we were too weak for that. But whatever anyone else dares to boast of, I am speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast of that. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they offspring of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one. I'm talking like a madman with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, far, countless beatings, other near death, 5 times. He goes on, go right down into chapter 12. I must go on boasting, though you guys are forcing me to. Though there is nothing to gain by it, I will go on to visions and revelations. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body. I do not know. God knows it. And he starts boasting about who he is in Christ. And so what I'm trying to get across is the joy of serving God. And if I close my eyes, and I've said this to you before, many villages, cities, towns, countries, where Lori and I have had the privilege to preach the gospel, go across my mind. And I can lay in my bed and I can think of cities, countries, continents, start in Asia, South America, Africa, Europe, you, where we've had the privilege to serve the God. I'm being a fool, but you're forcing me. What God has allowed us to be part of, what God's allowed us to serve in his vineyard, to be part of, that's what I'm trying to speak about this morning. And to the soft-hearted, you might be sitting here saying, oh, I got to work harder. No, it's not about working harder. It's about why we work. Serving God with joy and privilege and love and passion and being strong in it. And is there seasons when, the scripture, don't grow weary in well-doing is real? Yes! He wouldn't have said it if it wasn't the truth. But we remember the privilege of serving God and what we get to do for the Lord. I think it connects to the prodigal son story. I don't know if it's on the list of parables that we'll talk about, but somewhere, okay, it is. So do a good job of it when we get there. But it's like that older brother. You know the older brother story. The son comes home, the prodigal. The father welcomes him in. And the older brother's outside listening to this party going on. I've been here slave. Doesn't he sound a lot like the guy in this parable? And the father says, everything I have is yours. Can't I just, bless my son? He was dead. He's alive. He's back. It's like, and the point is, both those sons missed the father heart of God. Both missed it. One slaving, one out wasting, until they somehow in the story started to understand this God, this father who Jeremy prayed about, who runs to his son, who throws off his cloak, who like the guys up in Bukoba would never, the only thing that could make Mahaya run, which was the tribe around Bukoba, was the rain. You could run them over with a car, they wouldn't run. A man does not run. The rain made them run. But here's this father running. It's like this picture that's unbelievable of a, it's actually, as one of the great preachers said, it's the prodigal God, the God who just gives everything, who just pours out on his sons. So whether we are the prodigal just coming in, or we're the guys who've been hired in the morning, may God help us to never miss the privilege of serving him. living our lives for Him. I don't know how else to. It's such a privilege to serve God. If I, like again, if I close my eyes, I'm asking you to pray for us, and this is where I could really start to boast. But in 2 weeks' time, Lori and I are going back to South Africa. You remember George and Liesl? George was here for our camp. He's invited Lori and I to speak at their camp. So in those 4 weekends that we're there in Africa, we're in, I think it's 5 or 6 cities. We preach about 13, 14 times. We're in Tanzania, so a couple of countries. Overnight flights, we leave at one time, we leave at 10 and get 3 in the morning. The other time, we leave at 3 in the morning and get back at 7 in the morning, and then we fly down to Cape Town. So it's like, I could boast just about one trip. Forget about 40 years. Forget about what we've seen in our life. And you say, oh, Lenny's getting a little excited. I didn't wear my white shoes today, in case you would worship me. But laugh or say something out there. But we can forget the privilege of serving God. Right here in this house, right here in the city, right here where we live, right with the people in our life groups and families and people in hospitals. And I could start telling stories of faithful workers right here. You boast about your testimony, I'll boast about mine. You know what really got stirred up in my heart this week? And this is where I'm trying to be a very good Christian. We have a young guy who lives beside us a while back. I heard him hollering away, and I talked quickly about it, but I was in my garage, and I hear this guy out the back, these stupid old people, and he's kicking garbage cans. I thought they're having a fight out there. So I open the door, and it's my neighbor. And if you know my neighbor, we're like, this is my neighbor. Like, the thickness of the wall is the distance between me and my neighbor. So I said, are you okay? And he goes off, and God bless him, God help him. But he hates old people. That's what he told me. You old people, you ruined this country. He's talking to me, a young man like me. How offended is that? I said, what do you mean we ruined this country? He said, you let all these brown people in here. I said, oh, so you're also a racist. So anyhow, we got into a little bit of a discussion. But his retort to me was, what are you doing as a 65-year-old man, or whatever he called me, old man, still living in one of these townhouses? What's wrong with you? I'm here for a moment, but I'm a genius, and I'm moving. He's, you know, just, I said, you're a genius, all right. You're a little less genius than you think, but I could have been a little more kind. But I'm speaking the truth in love. But inside, I want to tell this punk kid, I have sold and bought more houses, more condos, more farms in continents, in cities, than you have ever seen in your little puny life. But I didn't say that. You want to talk about beatings and fear for your life? And I can tell you stories. Why? For the kingdom of God. For the joy of it. Do I feel sad that I left paradise in South Africa? You know, PJ was getting a hard time for talking about how beautiful South Africa weather is. We lived in Pretoria, the best city in the country. Do I feel sad? No, of course not. I feel very happy. No. The privilege of serving Jesus. Are we done? No. What's God putting in your hand to serve Him? Do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. And if you're a soft-hearted one and you're feeling guilty, and, oh, I got to work. No, that's not the point this morning. The point is we get to serve God. We get to go to the house of God. We get to serve one another. We get to live for Jesus. Are people going to offend you? Yes. Are you going to get tired? Yes. The parable tells you so. Are you going to feel like this isn't fair, man? You know, I could wax eloquent for a long time on this one. You know, I seem like I'm the only one serving here. Well, maybe you've been given the gift of serving. Then serve with all your might. That's what the scripture says. Yeah, but I'm the only one that gives. You have the gift of giving, then give, man. Don't worry about the other guy. You give. You got the gift of, you know, preaching. You got the gift of administration. Whatever the list is, Do it with all your might as unto the Lord. That's what we're talking about. And if we give you the impression that we are hammering on you, we need volunteers for Sunday, don't go to Sunday school. You're not going to help some poor child in there anyhow. You'll probably smack him around. Like, there's some of us that probably shouldn't be back there. Yeah. But do whatever it is that God's given you to do with joy in your heart. Serve the Lord. And you have a story to boast about. You have a story to preach about, to sing about, to live for Jesus. Amen? So don't talk to me about my little house. Like God spoke to one of the old evangelists. I won't say his name. Your plane disappoints me. Get a bigger one. So I did. You know, I'm not speaking that. But what God gives you, serve him with your whole life. I'm telling you, the joy of it, the privilege of it, is the reward. Did I make that point? Our life is our reward. I'm telling you. Now let's look at the 11th hour worker. That's the second one that speaks to me out of this. And I think it's very easy for everybody to see when you talk about the 11th hour. We're all 11th hour workers, amen? We've all snuck in here by the grace of God. It's his amazing grace that, you know, at 5 o'clock in the evening, you show up standing on the street. That's how I felt, like not even looking. Like people think, you know, you got to have these preparations and years and 15 people talk to you. And I'm not against any of that. But all I remember is Brian coming home 1 week a drunk, 1 week saved, saying you want Jesus and saying, yes. I'm one of those guys standing on the street at 5 in the afternoon, like, he says, what are you doing here? He says, well, come and work. And then he pays us the full day wage. Hallelujah. We got away with murder. We're in. And if you knew me, you wouldn't be listening to me. And if I knew you, I wouldn't talk to you. But Jesus saved us. And he loves us and he cares for us. That's what an 11th hour worker looks like. And I got to end this. It's not when God calls us, it's that he calls us. So if you've been called for your whole life, rejoice. And if you're the one standing on the street, sort of wondering, he's calling you today. He's good and he's amazing and he's generous and his favor is not fair, and all those things that we've preached over the years. The point is that he calls us. And I would say the 11th hour workers are often the most grateful. Talk to Brian Toogood. Get his testimony. We were talking about that the other day. Just experience the goodness of God. And I want to use Alistair Begg's example. How many know Alistair Begg? No, it doesn't matter. I don't even know who he is. I just saw a little clip of his on the... But if you talk about an 11th hour worker, it has to be the guy on the cross. You know that story? Remember me. Jesus says, okay, today you'll be with me in paradise. Ka-ching! He's in heaven. Think of it. And I love this Alistair Begg's story, so I'm stealing it, so pretend it's mine, it's okay. But here he is, the beggar, the thief on the cross. Now he's standing in heaven before the angel, and he's like, what are you doing here? I don't know. How did you get here? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? I don't know. He says, well, let me get the head angel. He comes over, starts talking to him. How did you get here? What about, you know, salvation by faith alone? Never heard of it. What about the Bible? Never read it. What are you doing here? I don't know. But all I know is the man on the middle cross said I could come. And that's the point. If our answer is anything else but that, it very quickly comes to I believed, I served, I hung on, I. And the answer is, Jesus saved us. Jesus called. That man on the middle cross, he spoke to me. And he said I could come. And I can tell you, I'm whatever age I am now, I can tell you when I was 15 in April 1974, I can remember the day, the moment, I can still smell the air, sitting on the barn, this weird greenery barn thing at my dad's farm, talking to my brother, and the love of God was real. And I know what Toby's feeling like in the prayer meeting this morning when she's just, yes, he's real. And he saved me. And I'm telling you, it's still true today. And has there been times when you want to throw in the towel and you want to quit? Of course. Is there times when people tick you off? Of course. Is there times when I've ticked people off? Of course. But I'm telling you, the grace of God, when Jesus speaks to you and he says to you, you can come. Finished. You're in. You're in. And if you've preached never a message, or if you've preached 1,000, it's the grace of God that keeps us serving and loving, doing the work of Jesus. Amen? Have you heard him? Have you heard him this morning? You know, we're not too far past Easter to talk about the cross. The only answer that will get you through is Jesus. He said, I can come. He said, I can be part of his kingdom. And you're like that guy standing at the side of the road, just like, and he starts handing out denarius, it's $150, whatever makes it real in your mind. And you just showed up and he says, here, you're in. But my prayer is this morning that you will have heard his voice. And if you've been serving the Lord for 60 years, 50, 80, I don't know how old the people are in here, may we never lose the privilege of what it means to serve God, to love God, to be part of his kingdom. You know, I'd rather live for 70 years serving Jesus, have something to lay down at his feet one day, to be able to rejoice. And I've used the examples too many times, but one day in heaven, there's going to be kids, people standing there because of your testimony. If you want a really good testimony, we went to see the life story of, I got his name written in my phone, Winton. I forget his first name. But the movie, they made it into a movie. It's called One Life. We just went to see it this week. But it's a true story of a British guy who went to Czechoslovakia, to Prague, just as the Second World War was starting, and they rescued children out. You may have heard that testimony, but it's an amazing, true movie. It's called One Life. And that whole, I'll ruin the whole movie for you, so what? The end of it, because you've probably seen it on TV anyhow, or memes or whatever. The end of it, there's a room full of about, I don't know, hundreds of people, and they find one, and then they, anyhow, at the end, there's a whole room, and they're honoring this Mr. Winton for the work he did, and he's this most like the humblest, he's just like tried to stay out of everything his whole life to be seen. He's just saying, no, just. And so they're honoring him on this TV show. And then they introduce one of the ladies who's sitting right beside him, and they start weeping. It's one of the kids that they'd never seen who it was that helped, and they hug and kiss. And then there's a few others here, she says. And the whole room stands up. Every one of them was a kid that they rescued just before Nazis took over Czechoslovakia. And they're just, I mean, we don't often get those kind of in your face, thank you, Jesus, my life has changed because moments. But I am telling you, in heaven, we're going to have those moments. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look. And all we'll be able to say is it was just amazing grace of Jesus that we did anything right and that we served him and we loved him. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to invite the band to come. I'm going to invite Pete to come. But my prayer is, and we've been sort of hinting at it all morning,